Welcome to the Bermuda Lawn Dominators Podcast, the one-stop destination for all things lawn care. We're here to unlock the secrets to achieving a pristine and envy-inducing lawn. I'm Jason Crane, and I'm here with Skip Wheeler and Chris Spangler. We're not experts, just passionate about lawns.
Bermuda Lawn Dominators, get the grass you need. All 14 inch mow, water, fertilize, and weed. Your go-to stop. Just to help your lawn, you'll be proud to walk outside to see the change it's undergone. Bermuda Lawn Dominators, let's grow greener together.
Today we continue our look into the four tenets of lawn care, which are mowing, watering, fertilizing, and weeding. In this episode, we're rolling up our sleeves and getting our hands dirty as we explore a topic that's essential to a healthy and vibrant lawn. We're diving headfirst into the fascinating world of lawn fertilizers. Whether you're a seasoned lawn expert or a budding lawn aficionado, this episode is for you. Fertilizer, often referred to as the secret sauce of lawn care, plays a vital role in nurturing your grass, providing it with the nutrients it needs to thrive and create a lush, envy-inducing carpet of green. But first, we're going to quench our thirst with the Lawn Beer of the Week.
Welcome to the Lawn Beer of the Week, where we motivate your lawn care with a side of hoppy happiness. Join us as we sip on refreshing brews that pair perfectly with tending to your lawn. Get ready to enjoy some grassy goodness and raise a glass to a lawn well done.
All right, Jason, what do we got?
All right, this week we have another Kolsch. That's what we started with on the first episode. But this is the Real L Brewing Company. It's their Cruiser Kolsch.
Where are they out of?
They are out of someplace I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't.
Well,
know
you were able to get it.
Oh, right up the road from us, in
another one,
Blanco,
another
Texas.
Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah. So, but you were able to get it at Specs, I think. Is that where you got it?
I got this at HEB.
HEB at the grocery store. Yeah. So you should be able to get it pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
Have you seen this one before, Chris?
Never have. Nope.
All right. We'll try these and see what we think. Now, this is supposed to be a light beer.
It's supposed to be light. They say walking the line between an ale and a lager. Supposed to have some fruity taste to it too, much like that first Kolsch that we had.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Which, but I think you liked pretty well.
I did like it. Yeah, I like this one too.
All right.
It is got a little bit of a fruity taste to it.
Yeah. So I looked into the beers a little more, and I've read this a long time ago, but I was kind of researching this a little bit. But they have different. So an ale uses yeast that's fermented on top.
Yeah.
And then lagers is fermented on the bottom. It's a different kind of yeast. And the ales, it's a warm fermentation, where lagers, it has to be cold. And so what they do with these is they ferment them on top in warm temperatures. And then they, after they fermented, then they cool them down like you would a lager. So you kind of get the best of both worlds with these. So it's kind of, they call them hybrids.
Okay.
Actually.
Yeah. Well, I really like it.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chris?
I think it's refreshing. Yeah. It's nice.
Okay. Well, today we're going to talk about fertilizing. So that's one of the major, getting into the real stuff, right? So you get your mowing taken care of, you get your watering taken care of, and the next level is fertilizer. Sure.
Fertilizing, yeah.
Well, today we got a special guest, Chris Spangler, and it is nice to have you here, Chris. He's part of the Bermuda Lawn Dominators Facebook group and has been since the beginning, but he has a unique perspective because what kind of grass do you have?
Add a little diversity to the group. I'm a St. Augustine guy. I've got St. Augustine in the front lawn. I've got a mix of Bermuda and St. Augustine in the backyard that is quite the turf war going on in the backyard.
It is. Are you trying to make one win and one take over and one lose, or just letting it go?
This may get me kicked out of the group, but I'm trying to get St. Aug on the whole lot. But that Bermuda is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bermuda's hard to get rid of. So what are you doing to encourage the St. Augustine versus the Bermuda?
So I've read, cut it nice and high. I'm cutting about 3.5 inches. It's supposed to, that St. Augustine is supposed to shade out the Bermuda so the Bermuda can't grow. It's not been my experience, though. I'm going on 3 years, and the Bermuda is just as tall and is just as thick as the St. Augustine.
Yeah. Have you tried any Bermuda-specific weed killers?
I haven't. I hate, I'm not a huge pesticide fan. I want to try to use that as least as possible. So if it ends up, I've got a blend. The grass is green, and everybody says it looks nice. It's just, it irks me having, the spring mix of sorts. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I watched the video of a guy who actually had that on purpose. He had St. Augustine because it grew so much better in the shade, and he had some big trees. So under the trees, St. Augustine, and on the other, the sunny side of the lawn, it was Bermuda. So.
Ironically, I've got a lot of live oaks, and everywhere that there's the tree shade, it's St. Augustine. In the middle of my yard that's exposed to the most sun is where the Bermuda is thriving.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe it worked out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't think it gets you kicked out. I think a lot of the tenets of lawn care are universal.
100%. I've learned so much from all these Bermuda lovers, for sure.
Yeah. What is it? I mean, obviously, you're not going to mow with a real mower, probably. I wouldn't think. You don't need to mow that low, and that's generally what that's for. But what are some of the things that you feel do cross over really well?
Oh, the weed prevention, everything, all the tenets that you talk about in this podcast all apply to my lawn as well. I've got some unique challenges with St. Augustine, with fungus and brown patch, and a lot of other things that maybe are unique to my lawn, but the fundamentals are the same.
Yeah, I would think so. Mow, water, fertilize, and weed. That's it. If you get those four things, that's what we always say, is if you get those four things under control, whether you have Bermuda, whether you have St. Augustine, it will, your lawn will respond.
Even the cool weather grasses, you know, it's pretty much the same thing. Yeah. And where I came from, I had St. Augustine in the front and Bermuda in the back. And I found it to be true too, that a lot of these things cross over. You know, it's just the mowing height is the big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And according to y'all's first episode, St. Augustine is so easy to master.
Yeah.
It was easier for me. That was what I had.
It is. It's pretty low maintenance too, compared to the Bermuda. From what I'm not having to sand and level and do all of the things.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, whenever I moved into that house, we were in the middle of this huge drought, no outside watering. There's a little patch of St. Augustine between two trees in the front yard. And then about a month later, it was torrential rains, floods, everything. We're out of the drought. All the lakes are full. We can water now. That St. Augustine just spread. I didn't really have to do anything much, but keep it watered. And it spread through the whole yard.
Yeah, that's what I found with mine as well. My last house, we had St. Augustine as long as I kept it watered. Now, it did take a lot more water than my Bermuda.
Yeah.
As long as I kept it watered and fertilized, I didn't even really have to deal with weeds that much. I mean, spot spraying here and there, but that was it.
I don't think I ever even spot sprayed. I'm pre-emergent, but by the time the St. Augustine came out of dormancy, it would start choking out the weeds right then.
Well, I'm glad you find value in the Bermuda Lawn Dominators Facebook group. Yep. It's not just for Bermuda people. We thought about changing the name, but most people in the South have Bermuda now, especially if it's a new build. In the last several years, they put Bermuda in.
But there are no support groups for St. Augustine grass people.
I couldn't find any either.
Bermuda Lawn Dominators is where it's at for all of us.
I couldn't find. And I found that there's a lot of St. Augustine lovers in the group. It's just they ended up with Bermuda because Bermuda. You know that's what the builder gave them
A lot of municipalities require it now
so
because of the drought tolerance.
So we want to jump into fertilizer.
Absolutely.
All right, so the first thing that I think we should talk about is we have granular fertilizer and we have liquid fertilizer. So I don't know, what are your thoughts on the two different types? Is one better than the other?
I tend to stick with granular. But that's because of the size of the lawn, and spraying this whole lawn would take forever.
Right. But
that's what I use. I have used some liquid, and sometimes I'll put liquid iron out in the front yard.
Yeah.
But I stick with granular. I find it easier. What about you on the St. Augustine?
Same for me. I've got about not a huge lot, a quarter of an acre, and it's just easier to do the granular for me. I do put down liquid pesticide. I've got a 4-gallon backpack sprayer, and that's just so painstaking. So I'd rather put it in the spreader and go.
So is that an electric sprayer or is it
a pump? Yeah, it's got a battery powered. Yep.
Okay. But still, that's 32 pounds of liquid.
Right. Yeah. When you start out.
Yeah. When you start, you got to go quick. Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, I think most people. What about you, Jason? What do you
think? I use granular most of the time too. Okay. So, I like to see, you know, what are pros and cons of both. And, you know, for granular, it's mostly slow release. You know, and lasts longer. You get better coverage, I think, too.
Yeah.
With the granular and the spreaders versus having to spray it. But the liquid, a lot of times it will green it up a lot quicker.
That's
true. But it may not last as long.
The absorption rate is much faster because the liquid's through the leaves, right?
Right.
The granular's through the roots.
Yeah. Yeah, so it takes a little bit longer for the granular to break down.
Yeah.
And in your soil. So so what about organic versus synthetic?
You know, for years I used synthetic chemicals and I've had some accidents here and there where I've burned the line from that. And then I decided to get into all organic and I went too far. The pendulum swung too far the other way and I was doing everything all organic all the time. Mm-hmm. So now I'm kind of in the middle, right? But with fertilizers, I always do only organic and mostly just because it's a no-brainer. You don't have to think about it a whole lot because if you overdo it, you're not going to burn the lawn.
So I'm using a mixture right now. So I'll do an application of the synthetic and then the next application is usually organic. I've been going back and forth.
It's interesting. I enjoy Milwaukee's Finest when it comes to the fertilizer, although the price has gone up a little bit lately.
It has gone up.
But I use that, and then you know, I'm still learning this whole thing, so I realize that obviously you're missing. I'm sure we'll get into the components of fertilizer here soon, but you're missing some stuff there in the Milorganite. So I've alternated. I'm still using granular, but I'll alternate with some of Yard Mastery's products back and forth between that and Milorganite.
Yeah, the synthetic is usually cheaper than the Milorganite and the other.
Yeah, it didn't used to be that way. It was the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, I think groups like this probably created a lot more demand for it.
Yeah.
And there's been times when it's been hard for me to find Milorganite.
Well, the last time I went to put fertilizer down, there was no organic fertilizer. I've used Milorganite or ProCare, which I get at Lowe's. I don't know if ProCare is available other places, but they had nothing but a Scott's chemical fertilizer. So that's what I ended up using.
I do like the fact that the organic, you don't have to worry about burning the lawn so much. And if you have pets too, it's a lot safer for your pets.
That's a good point. We have dogs.
Yeah.
I started off with, in the group, and a lot of the YouTubers say, use Milorganite. You can't screw it up. You can't burn your lawn. And I've just found with the ease of it, I just have continued to use it because it's what I'm used to. So I'm not opposed to other brands. It's just stick to with what I know, I guess.
You know, and I think some people have been able to find it on Amazon, so maybe I should look on there.
Last bag that I bought was from Amazon.
And I do like it exactly for that reason, Chris, because you can't go wrong. So you don't, if you're not good at the math or you're not confident in your math that you're doing or you're worried about spreading it, the organics aren't going to burn the lawn.
They are slow release, so it takes a little longer to see the effects, but you don't have to worry about burning. And that's, for me, that's a big plus.
Yeah, absolutely, especially with a new lawn.
So how often do you fertilize?
That's a good question. So with I fertilize every 4 to 6 weeks using the organics. That's what I try to do. And I don't fertilize in the winter at all. I mean, it becomes winter.
Yeah.
Although I guess some guys do. Some guys are very rigid about the once a quarter or every 6 weeks, regardless of when it is. I skip the winter.
When do you start up? Whenever it starts coming out of dormancy in the spring?
That's exactly when I start. As soon as I start seeing it green up a little bit from the weather change, I start putting fertilizer out.
So let's talk a little bit about what the numbers on the fertilizer bag mean. There's always three numbers on the front of that bag.
Yeah, NP and K.
Right? NP and K, yes.
Nitrogen.
Phosphorus.
Phosphorus and potassium.
Right. So those are the three nutrients that our lawns need, right? And so the nitrogen helps with the leaf part of the grass.
I think it pushes the growth, sorry. So the iron pushes
the green. Right. That's right, yeah. So the nitrogen pushes the growth of the leaf. The phosphorus, that's good for your roots.
Okay,
it helps it take root.
Right.
You know, I doing a little bit of research on this, I found that there are some states that don't allow you to put down phosphorus in your lawn.
Yeah, they took phosphorus out of a lot of things over the years. You know, you used to have it in your laundry detergents and your dishwasher detergents.
Yeah.
You can still buy it in some places. Like here, you can buy it separate TSP.
Yeah. Texas doesn't care.
No, Texas doesn't care. It all washes off in the Gulf anyway. I guess
so. That's why Galveston looks like it does.
I guess so.
Do not eat the fish out of the Gulf. Yeah.
Not the ones that glow in it.
Right. So each number on that bag, so the first one's the nitrogen, the second one's the phosphorus, and then the last one's the potassium. And that's the percentage of that nutrient in that fertilizer.
Okay.
So if it's 20 for the first number, that means 20% of it is nitrogen, right? So, so that helps us with how we determine how much we want to put down on our lawns. And this is where it gets a little complicated. And this is where, you know, we were talking about earlier that the organic makes it a lot easier because you don't have to worry so much about this, right. You know, the calculations of, you know, how do you figure out 1 pound of nitrogen, you know, per 1,000 square feet or whatever right. you need to do. So,
well, and just for reference, malorganite is 640, right? So six nitrogen.
Six nitrogen. Mm-hmm.
So how would we figure that for our lawn? Or what do we want to put down for our lawn?
So if we're wanting to put down pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, mm-hmm. which I think is about the normal. I mean, I guess, you know, if you have a soil test or something that tells you differently, you know, that you need more of one nutrient than the other, then you would go with that. But if you put down a pound of nitrogen per 1,000 feet, then you can take the number on the bag, so 20%, mm-hmm. and you divide 1 by the 20%. And that will give you how many pounds of that particular mix of fertilizer that you need for 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
And then, so if your yard's 5,000 square feet, then you just multiply that number by 5, and that's how much you would spread.
Okay, I got you.
The whole yeah, makes lawn. Sense. And I think I have my math right. You know, I said last podcast that I felt like I was good at math, but this is one place that I'm always second guessing myself.
Yeah, me too.
And looking it up on the internet.
Yeah.
Before I'm doing any kind of applying.
Yeah, and I have some shortcuts that we'll talk about after we figure out the math. Yeah.
All right. Good.
For that reason.
Yeah. So that's how you figure out how much you need of each, you know, nutrient, whatever you want to put. So do you change up the amount of nitrogen versus phosphorus, that ratio, any throughout the year? Or do you,
no.
you keep the same?
Yep, yeah. I keep the same. Do you change yours up?
The only time I ever did was following, you know, we were talking about the calendars a couple episodes
ago. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So the Texas A&M calendar is very specific about the amount that you mm-hmm. put down. And I followed that the first year for my St. Augustine. And after that, I didn't. I just, you know,
yeah.
I bought some, looked at the back of the bag and to see how much.
Oh, yeah. And that's my shortcut.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
What do you do, Chris?
Yeah, the only time I've worried about that was when I first got into this and I read everything that said you need to get a soil test. You got to figure out what you're. And so then I got all into the hype and I thought, okay, and I realized, okay, my soil test says I'm low in this. So I need to try to compensate with adding things. And I got to the point where I'm just like you. If my lawn looks good, I'm just going to use what I'm used to and press on.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to say that it's. You shouldn't get a soil test. I mean, if you want to go to that much effort, then
absolutely
do it and figure it out.
Or if you're struggling, if you're putting something down and you're not getting the results you think you should, then absolutely do a soil
100%.
test.
Yeah,
but I don't think you need it on a regular basis.
No.
I think I did two since I've lived here, and I've mm-hmm. never done it again.
Yeah, yeah, and that's not true. I told you I've never done a soil test. I did one and I screwed it all up. And didn't get good results. And so,
yeah.
So I didn't even count it. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That probably happens to everybody.
I was like, well, forget it. I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to go. But I have tried to do all the math to figure out, you know, how much I needed, especially, and it was on the St. Augustine lawn where I was doing that. We have different ways that we can apply these different types of fertilizers too. Mm-hmm. So for granular, you know, we're using some sort of spreader. So what about a drop spreader versus a broadcast?
Well, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the size of the lawn. Uh-huh. So I use a broadcast, but I have an acre and I pull it behind a tractor because it's too much to walk.
Yeah.
For a smaller lawn, I think a drop spreader would be ideal.
Right.
So what do you have?
Right now I've got a drop spreader. I've got a drainage runoff next to my lawn and I don't want to broadcast a bunch of my fertilizer that, you know, there. So I need something that's either get an edge guard or something, but mm-hmm. I hate my drop spreader. I love, I'm in the group and I see all these folks with nice broadcast spreaders. It's something I'd like to upgrade to, but they are expensive. So I've been putting it off.
What is it you don't like about the drop spreader? I mean, it does give you that more precision, I guess.
But it's hard to assess how much you're dropping. With the broadcast spreader, you can see it going out. You know how much and you have overlap with the broadcast spreader. Mm-hmm. With a drop spreader, you have more, you're more likely to have gaps if you're not doing, you know, overlapping your wheel tracks.
And,
you
right.
know. See nice little green stripes in your lawn.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can get the zebra lawn going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that with the iron one time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I striped my lawn with
it. Tell the neighbors it's supposed to look like that.
Right. Yeah. So I have a broadcast spreader with the, and it's just a cheap Scott's broadcast spreader that has the edge guard. So, but I like it for the same reasons Chris mentioned. You know, you get the overlap. You can kind of, you know, you're going along, and I just try to just barely get to the wheel marks of my last run
with you're doing that overlap
and to get that overlap on that. Yeah, it seems to work pretty well for me.
So. Yeah, I've always used broadcast spreader, but you know, you mentioned the edge guard. When you have a domination line between you and the neighbor, you need that edge guard.
Right, exactly.
Okay, do a couple of passes, especially if you're using organic. You go a couple passes along that edge just to make sure there's a delineation line between the two of you. So the one I have, the pull behind on that tractor, doesn't have an edge guard, but I've took a piece of pizza box and zip tied it in there. So I get that, that edge guard.
You made an edge guard
for
it.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, that works, I guess.
Absolutely.
So one thing that I think we probably should talk about is how do you determine if you're broadcasting or dropping the right amount of fertilizer on?
What I do is I look on the back of the bag, and generally there's a number on there.
Yeah.
And it tells me. That's what I did when I had a Scott spreader, and it was easy. Now I have a John Deere. I think it's John Deere. I don't know what brand name it is, but it's one that pulls behind the John Deere. And the numbers do not correspond. I have not found on the internet anybody that has converted it. So I took my time, did the math before, and figured out that about 3.5 on that spreader is about the same as whatever it was supposed to be on the Scott. So I leave it at about 3.5. And I don't know what that math is now because it's been several years. I just know 3.5 is the number I set it on to put Milorganite out.
So I watched some videos on this before, and it's, you know, where people, you know, mark off 1,000 square feet of their lawn. And then they take a spreader and, you know, they use different settings and see
exactly
the right amount. You know, I do something. I mean, I usually look on the back. I have a Scott's. So it's usually on every bag you have. And that's what I use, is whatever the number is. And then if I come across one that isn't, then I still use the number from the Scott's, you know, figure out how much pounds. That's when I have to figure out how many pounds of this do I need for
when you're sitting down and doing the math.
Right. And then I put that in and use the Scott setting. I mean, the setting that I used before. So, and I found that it's pretty, even if the size of each grain of whatever you're putting down is different, you know, Milorganite is tiny compared to a lot of these, but it still broadcasts about the same as the thicker.
Oh, okay.
So, it's interchangeable that way. So if you know you need 3 pounds of this, and you know what the setting is for 3 pounds of Milorganite, it's usually the same.
As long as the granulars or the grains are about the same size? Is that what you're saying?
No, it doesn't matter. Not the same size. It doesn't even matter that they're not the same size.
Okay.
So for liquid, we talked a minute about, you know, Chris has the backpack sprayer. Mm-hmm. So you have different types of sprayers that you have to use for liquid. I have a backpack sprayer. I never used it for fertilizer. I use it for pesticide, and I have used it to put down the iron, the liquid iron.
I had a backpack sprayer for a while too, and I used it for the pre-emergent. And I actually did a square of 1,000 square feet and measured out how many gallons it would take me to get through that. And so I got it real precise, but I found it's good to have that number up front. So you know, you have a starting point.
Yeah.
But I found over time, I could just kind of estimate that once I had a good starting point. Have you done that with your spreader?
Well, even knowing how much product you need for your 1,000 square feet, that still doesn't tell you how fast you need to walk. So I can do all that and then still be, you know, get only 3/4 of the way done and say, I walk too fast, you know? So there's a lot of a trial and error with
that. There is. Yeah.
Yeah. There is some trial and error with that for sure. And it's a guessing game, right? So none of this is the art of lawn, right? There's the science to it too, but there's a little bit of an art to it. And you apply the science and then get out there and apply the art to it.
Some trial and error.
Yeah. Some trial and error.
With my backpack sprayer on my previous lawn, I haven't even used it on my new lawn yet, but I found that a gallon for every 1,000 square feet or so. So it's a 4 gallon. So I could get through about 4,000 square feet of lawn. With four gallons.
Yeah, that's what I found too. I practiced that in the beginning when I first got it. When I was really getting into all this, I practiced 1,000 square feet with 1 gallon and measured that and made sure I was doing it right.
Yeah, I filled it with water the first time, too. But nothing in it.
And then, but I did it on the driveway because that's where I mapped it out.
Oh, okay.
So that way I could physically see it. I think the Lawn Care Nut has a video on that, on how to do that. It's one of his older videos, but he does have a video on that.
Yeah, that was one of the videos that I had watched about how to calibrate your broadcast spreader, too.
Yeah, he has some great videos on all that stuff.
He does.
So if you're really looking for the answers in detail and you want to get that detailed about it, you can get on YouTube and find Lawn Care Nut, How To with Doc, both of those guys.
He's done some great reviews for those, the granular spreaders. Mm-hmm.
Is that the Lawn Care Nut?
The Lawn Care Nut, yes. But spoiler alert, he is not a fan of the drop spreader.
Yeah. I saw one video... And I think it was talking about the calibration where he said they use the drop spreader on that, you know, that patch of grass you have between the sidewalk and the street.
Yep.
That's where he would use the drop
spreader. Place to,
Everywhere else it was a broadcast.
Yeah, I guess a spreader wouldn't work well.
Yeah.
A broadcast spreader.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing about my Edge Guard broadcast spreader is on that little strip on my previous lawn, I was always throwing fertilizer on the sidewalk. So with backpack sprayers, you can, the nice ones are battery like yours, Chris, and then the cheap ones like mine that you pump.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I had is a pump one.
Yeah. And it's not terrible.
No, not if you're 30.
four gallons on your back plus you're pumping your arm up and down.
Yes.
No thanks.
maybe 10 years ago I was fine with it, but I'm not anymore.
Well, I think I was coming from the handheld, that you
pump
up.
That is a better than that.
Two gallons or whatever around.
The context matters. Yeah. Okay. That is an upgrade.
So I got the pump. Yeah. And I was pretty pleased with that, so
is that what you still have?
What I still have. Yeah. Like I said, I haven't used it this season on this new lawn. I haven't done a whole lot other than Morganite and mowing and watering. So what do you think about the kind that you attach to the hose? So you go down, you buy the bottle, you attach it to your hose.
You spray. I use that a lot before I was into the lawn.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying that's when I used it. And I didn't really know what I was doing at that time, but I think there's probably plenty of benefit to that.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I've used it before, but after I got really into lawn care, I quit using that and started just using the granular.
Not for any other reason than I just wanted more control.
Right.
So do you use those at all?
I did, just like in the beginning. I used weed and feed products. I used the spray products, but I always would find myself going through it faster than I was supposed to. Either I had the water volume too high or it's just a lot of variables with that.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always wonder, I'm like, is this really mixing the right amount? Whole time you're spraying,
you're shaking it.
Right. Did I just fill this bottle full of water and that's all I'm spraying?
When I first started though, I had the Scott's one that you can put different things in.
Uh-huh.
And I use that quite a bit before I had a good sprayer to put my pre-emergent.
Oh, yeah.
But eventually I moved on to a backpack sprayer. And then now I use a pull behind sprayer on the lawn tractor.
So you use a sprayer, pull behind sprayer, and a pull behind spreader?
Yes. Both? So for any of the liquids, I use a pull behind sprayer. And that thing is a gallon a minute. I've used it for so long that I've got it down pretty well about the speed I need to go with a tractor. And I know, and it holds about 12 gallons. I put about 10 in there and it does the whole yard.
Okay.
So I know. I've kind of just, after a while, you've done it for a while and you kind of know what works and what doesn't work. And
a lot of this is you get out and try it and see what's working. And then if it's not, you make changes. You walk faster, walk slower.
That's the advantage to being a living thing in the lawn. Being a living thing is that it's not going to be completely destroyed by anything you do. You can generally recover from just about anything.
Right. You can. It's especially with Bermuda, it seems to snap back.
It's pretty hardy. Yeah. I mean, I've literally sprayed Roundup in places I shouldn't have.
Right.
Just wait a few weeks.
Right.
Yeah. Water it pretty heavy.
That's why it's important to get out and just get in your lawn. We can all get stuck in this research vacuum. We're all in the group. We're looking for advice and we just get out and try stuff.
No, absolutely. That's a great point. Just getting out and doing is probably half the battle, right?
It is. Yeah. And I'm still at a point where I'm still a little timid about doing things. Even, you know, like I feel more comfortable. The one reason I use the granular is because I feel more comfortable with it. And I feel like, you know, I don't have to, it's not so much of a science for me to figure out how much to put down as if I was using a liquid and a sprayer and all that. So just find what works for you.
It just takes time and practice.
Exactly.
The smellier it is, I think the better it works. If your neighbors are complaining about the smell, you're gonna have the best lawn on the block.
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you Milorganite for the first time, it's like
I explained to my wife how Milorganite was made, and she goes, well, that explains the smell.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a couple other brands out there that are the same thing.
Sure. Yeah,
they are.
Yeah, the first time that I tried to buy Milorganite, they didn't have it. And I was at Lowe's, I think. They didn't have it. And so I asked for it. And the guy was like, oh, we don't have that, but we have this. It's Hue Actinite. And it's the same thing, only it's from Houston. Wow. Yeah, same thing, but it's from Houston. Yeah, and it's just as smelly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good use of it, and it works very well.
Yeah.
And the smell I've found doesn't last that long.
No, it doesn't.
Not at all.
No.
And my neighbors use like, they'll actually go get manure and apply that in the spring.
And that's way worse.
Oh, yeah.
It's way worse. Yeah.
Or it lasts a lot longer.
You smell like you're in a pasture then.
Yep.
So we have a couple of shout outs this week from the Bermuda Lawn Dominator Facebook group. I'll let you do the first one because I didn't get to actually see this picture, but I know you and Chris both saw it.
Yes. So it's Alan Wickman. And he won the internet with this picture that he did on his lawn for 4th of July.
What was it?
So he cut a depiction of Mount Rushmore into his lawn. And then not only that, he had like, you know, the stripes for the flag, a soldier saluting, USA in huge letters.
That's amazing.
It was a work of art.
I'm just trying to get my lawn green, much less shape it into something. That's incredible,
Alan. It is, yeah.
Or Aaron, I'm sorry. That's some artistry there. I can't imagine being that creative, having that level of creativity.
You've got to go look at it. The words, the description, as artful as that was, do not do it justice.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, you have to.
I will go and look and to see if I can't find it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gained so many likes, too. So many people love that lawn.
Yeah, well, it was the number one post that day.
Yeah,
I do remember that. I mean, I remember seeing the name, but I just never saw the photo. So we also had Raymond Pickett, and he asked, what are you guys spraying your Bermuda grass with to make it greener? So we talked about that just a minute ago, or just for a second earlier. So what I spray is some iron. And I have a little trick that I do right before the holidays, right before 4th of July, right before Halloween. I always put down a little liquid iron. A little liquid iron will green it up within a couple of days.
Yeah.
Well, within a day, usually. You want it the chelated iron.
Right.
So it's spelled C-H-E-L-A-T-E-D.
Yeah. Yep.
Chelated.
It's worked for me, too. I've used that quite a few times. Like I said, I striped my lawn one time with it just because I sprayed it so unevenly. But
yeah. Were you intentionally striping it?
No.
Oh.
No,
you sprayed it unevenly. Gotcha.
I just sprayed it unevenly. Yeah. I didn't.
Now, I wonder if Aaron Wickman could go back and do something using some iron in some strategic places and green up the lawn just That'd be interesting.
Yeah, it would be.
Raymond, hopefully that helps. That's what I use to green my lawn up. How about you on the St. Augustine? Do you use anything to green it up?
Not at all. No.
No? Just, it just stays green.
Just use the four tenants and press on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of shade in my lawn, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never used anything. I never used the iron on mine. St. Augustine.
No.
It's always on my Bermuda. Yeah.
Well, if you use it to green up the Bermuda, it will, and you use the right amount of it, it'll kind of make it a bluish green for sure.
Yeah. A lot of these pictures you see with the nice dark green, that's
exactly what it is, right? Yeah.
A lot of the information that we get and that we're giving out is things that we got from this community on Facebook, this Facebook group. It's so great. It's a great source of information. So many good people out there giving good advice.
Yeah, and if you ever have a question, you can go on the Facebook group and search for that question. And if you can't find it, usually you'll find it answered multiple times.
Yeah.
If you can't find it, then ask the question.
Right.
But I highly recommend, especially if you're looking for a quick turn, Just do a search on the page for that question, and you'll find somebody has answered it.
We're all kind of looking for the same things. So usually the question's already been asked at some point.
And they always tie back to the four tenets: mow, right, water, fertilize, and weed. Right, right. It's always one of those four.
Well, even I even saw a lot of people answer to Raymond was water. What do you put on your lawn to make it greener, water?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Especially, that's a good point, especially this time of year, July and August, and down here in South Texas, it's that's the only thing that's going to keep it green.
Yeah.
My backyard is not green anymore. All right. Well, we talked as much as we could about, as much as we know about fertilizer, and that's kind of what we do. And, as we talked about, it's, we don't worry about the math as much. We kind of use the cheat codes, if you will. Yeah. Look it up on Google, and there's plenty of charts and stuff out there that'll help you with that stuff if you're fearful of the math, but don't let the math get in the way. Look in the back of the bag, use one of those spreaders that has the numbers on it that correlates, and try it out and see what your results are, and adjust from there based on your results.
And if it's not on the back of the bag, I've found a lot of times you can Google it and someone out there has figured it out for you already.
Yep.
And you can just, or even look on the Facebook page and see if someone has already figured out the setting that you need.
Yeah. And if not, ask the question. Somebody will help you with that.
Yeah.
Exactly. We have a lot of smart people in that group.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people help other people with the math on the fertilizer too.
Well, join us next week as we talk about some weed control. That's one of the major issues that I have in my Bermuda lawn. What about in the St. Augustine lawn?
Same. I failed with my pre-emergent this year, and I'm paying for it.
Oh, yeah. I did the same thing over the winter, and I paid for it a lot in the spring. I learned my lesson. So we're going to get deep into that next week. So please join us. Learn as much as you can about the weeds. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the BLD Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our lawn care discussions and the lawn beer of the week. Remember, as we sip and tend to our lawns, let's get greener together. Keep mowing, keep sipping, and keep dominating those lawns. Until next time, stay green and cheers.